Hello. I'm going to boast a little bit, if you'll forgive me. I just don't know how to say this. But if you're just tuning the program, tune to the station. And by the way, if you're driving the car and you don't know where the station is, if you like what you're about to hear, may the Lord make you truly thankful. You can remember that I have a website, fhu.com, Foundation of Human Understanding. That's it, fhu.com. That's it. Okay. Foundation, F, of Human, H, a Foundation of Human Understanding, U, F-H-U, see? And that's all you need to remember, FHU.com. That's it. It'll get you there. And then you go to Listen to Roy Live or Listen to Roy Archives. So this program is heard all night until the next evening, where I begin again to take calls, 800-866-8883. And, but I'm going to say this to you right now. I was listening to Megyn Kelly, and no, it wasn't Megyn Kelly. It was just another. I copy the news, and I run through it very quickly. And what caught my eye is the fact that people are dying by the hundreds of thousands on drugs, and drugs is the problem. They're losing our young people. Even the young people of our politicians are bereaving dead children. And I can help you. I have a gift that was given me. I have to use it. And it's up to you, ladies and gentlemen, my friends, to help me do this. So the more you give to me, the Foundation of Human Understanding, the more I get radio stations. I want to buy radio stations with them. So I want to share with you, what I've learned. It's so simple, it's hard. It's so simple, it's difficult. You will say, it can't be simple. It has to be simple. It's not something you strive for. It's something you long for. Do you understand that? You can long for drug pusher. That's love. You're longing for him. You can love somebody for sex, but it may be addiction. You could be addicted to sex. You could be addicted to food. Oh, I love food. But look at yourself in the mirror. You never see a fat pigeon, a fat donkey. I mean, yes, on the donkeys, it's a bad choice. But birds can't get fat. They get eaten. They wouldn't get off the ground. I mean, animals just have an instinct, and they adapt, and they get something from the environment they're living in that affects them. So just give an example. Let's say the giraffe was originally a horse, and the horse, there wasn't much leaves left on the lower part of the scenery. And so the horse with the longest neck would be able to eat and reproduce. And hundreds of changes upward, or evolution of things, you'd see that the neck would get longer and longer and longer and longer, and you have a giraffe. I'm not saying that's actually going to work, but you are adapting to the environment. I don't want you to adapt to the environment. Don't you get it? That's what sickness is. That's where illness comes from. We're in the world, but not of it. I'm in your world. I'm not of it. And neither will I be. No matter what the duress, I'd rather be dead than that. And that's why you feel sometimes. That's why you commit suicide. You don't know how to stop being sick. You don't know how to stop being wrong. You don't know how to stop being anything. You're going down. And the agony is following you. But I tell you, what's following you is your conscience, that you think of the enemy as the enemy, and the pleasure the relief that is temporary but only makes you more hungry, more addicted, and more assimilated by the world around you. It makes it more attractive, see, and it pulls you and it pulls you and it pulls you until it doesn't work anymore. All of a sudden, you find yourself in a very dark place. Okay, we'll be right back.
By the Foundation of Human Understanding, a 501(c) nonprofit organization. Your financial assistance is absolutely necessary to keep this program on the air. All donations are tax deductible. Write to P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528, call 1-800-877-3227, or visit FHU.com.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Good evening. I'm going to swear. I'm not going to swear the way you think, but I'm going to swear to you that if you love what's right, you won't mind me talking to you about what's wrong with you. See, I know your need for entertainers and those kinds of distractions, drugs, and everything that makes you feel better. And how difficult it is to correct you when you're wrong. And so you might recoil this opening. But I swear to you that if you have it in your heart to think thus, what is life all about? If you've ever had that, what's life all about? What's the purpose of life? That's all. It sort of whispers to you. It's not you thinking. I'll tell you a little story. So I'm standing by the window. I'm about 15. And maybe 16, I forget now. And the air raid siren was there. And looking out the window, and I was thinking, the thought comes to me, what's the purpose of life? I've had that before. It just came to me again. Things seemed pretty bleak at that time. Not that it was bothering me. And I just saw that there needs to be a purpose. Something said to me, if you think that, you'll die. Where did that come from? It came right up. As the thought was put into my mind, I didn't see. I'm beginning to see that I'm acted through. I'm acted through the dark side, from the dark side, and the relief from the dark side is to be acted through the bright side. And I could see that. Now, I shut the door a couple of days later, and I get on my bicycle to go to work, and I'm an apprentice diamond cutter. Jesus was a carpenter, so I cut diamonds. And so it's 10 miles away, and it's a snowy day, but I get on my bicycle, and something says, you didn't lock the door. I said, didn't lock the door? Sure I did. I go upstairs just in case. And the door was locked. You pull it. You know how you do those things. You pull on the handle and push it. And I got on my bicycle and went halfway to my job. And something says, but you really didn't lock the door. There's nobody around. Nobody. I said, what the hell's this? Who are you? That's not me talking. But in my mind, I said, go to hell. Screw you, go to hell. Don't bother me again. Fast forward. I get married. Guess what? I had an exorcism after my last son was born, the youngest son. I was laying down on the floor of a trailer because I've left my business behind, the hypnosis business, the Institute of Hypnosis in Houston, Texas, Montrose Boulevard, and I'd discovered something. I had 1,000 records and mimeographed how your mind can keep you well. And so there's 5 of us in the trailer. And so I was laying on the floor and I started to meditate, and all of a sudden my ears turned up like you see a devil, and my mouth began to droop. My hands felt like claws. And all of a sudden, I could not see anything but black. I have never seen black, so black. It's the absence of any light at all, like a void. A void, like in the beginning. In the beginning, there was a void. I've never seen black like this. It wasn't scary, though. Strange. And down below, in that black, I could sense something waiting for me. And something came to me, and I'm not religious. I said, oh my God. I said that naturally. And in a flash, it was gone. Forever. Where did I get that from? I got it from my wife. She was infected. But she didn't know it. She didn't know it. 63 years later, she still has it. Didn't know it. It took her that long to be able to see it. Still working on it. It's made her sick. It's in there. That's the basis. And so I'm home with her now. And she's losing her memory. I'm the only person on earth that can help her. The only person. Not easy. You're married to it. It's a different arrangement between me and her and you and me and you. But the danger is that when I tell her the truth, she reacts to it. I said, please don't. But that's her. It's hard to get through. You can't always get through. And so it is what it is. And one of the two things is going to happen. I won't give in. I don't react. I'd be patient and hope that she sees it. And unconsciously, she does all kinds of strange things. That's it. But I have to deal with what is given me. And I'm okay with that. I can't go out anywhere yet. I have to stay home, take care of her. It's not a problem to me. Still, I'm a problem to her. See that? That's about it. Still a problem to her all these years. My kids are fine. All of them fine. And so, it comes through the female. The problems, I learned the hard way. I learned in the Institute of Hypnosis that hypnosis is equivalent to temptation. Lead us away from temptation, deliver us from evil. Temptation is what you call pressure. Yes, that's what it is. But another word for pressure which causes an effect on you, damages you, is another word is, I can't find the word for it right now. But stress causes you damage to your mind and by reacting. And the only cure for that, for to keep it from evolving, that's the word, I think that's the correct word, it's evolving downward. It's really, for humans, it's devolving. See that? So you're beginning to take on an animal nature in conflict with your human. Do you get that? So your mind is affected because your spirit is ineffective. The spirit of you've disabled the ability of God to save you. When you feel the pull of what looks like salvation, a salvation of pleasure, and yes, of pain. You resist, you get angry at resisting. And you get certain, a sense of strength of worth in it just for a few moments before you get bowled over and sucked in and beaten up. But what if I could show you? What if I could show you what I've learned in my almost 88th year? I spent my whole life understanding what you might call metaphysics. I say to you, the universe is metaphysical. It's the result of metaphysics. There's a parallel universe that's exactly like this one. So when you die and go to where Jesus went, and he demonstrated, "Don't touch me. Translation and transformation is not fulfilled yet, complete. So when you die, you'll find a world just like ours, with flowers and trees and animals. And I can't give you all the details, but it's there. But something is there which makes you eternal, whereas you are presently infernal. God is looking for, is testing you, is giving you a chance. But the reason why the test is so beautiful, yes, it's beautiful, is because only one man ever sinned, and that was Adam. And Adam became subject to Eve. And Eve was subject to you know what that spoke to her. It spoke to her. But what you didn't know is when God spoke to Adam, he didn't speak in words. And he speaks to me without words. So the result of all this means I discovered what's wrong with the human race. Every one of you is the same thing you all get from the various generations. And whatever culture you're born into a culture that is governed by men and mostly wicked men. But call them politicians. And you see that if you look at the world, you see mostly much horror and suffering because the people tend to keep on electing the worst. If there's any election, they tend to elect the worst to service the worst in them. Just like the drug addict looks downward into the dark abyss of South America, jungle, and rises up to greet them and make them feel better is a pseudo salvation, but it pulls you deeper into every high is you sink into the swamp of the low. Understand what I'm saying, and don't be afraid to call me. But I tell you this: 800-866-8883 from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. live every Monday through Friday. Thanks. But I say to you, I have the key to the kingdom. And I know I do. And the millions of people, and millions of people, it's not enough. We have 330 million people. And not all are good. But you are good, but not good enough. So I want to make your Christianity. So I'm a Jesus believer. But not in the spoken word of any preacher that's anything comes out of his mouth. to. So what it's intuitive. I know intuitively if I pick up the Bible, I understand that. Well, it's simple. Why? I see people don't know what it means to be still and know. They don't know what be still. I do. I know exactly what it is. And that's why I call my meditation Be Still and Know. You can go to my website, fhu.com, and get a copy free. 7-minute meditation, look for it, no charge. And share it. Okay, thank you. So, anybody want to call me? Is everybody ever happy out there? You like your drugs? You love your alcohol? You love you love your sex too much? You're gonna be addicted to it, and that's very dangerous. You can eat, but you could also be drunk on food, and that will kill you just by itself. Never mind the sin. So, you mustn't be so sensual. Sensualness has sensuality. I don't know what to call it. I just made up a word, I think. Sensuality is a sickness. The love of pleasure. The love of the feel of a new car. The feel of a warm body and sex and giving you a high. And then what you get into, forgive me for saying this, what you get into really going to get into you. And it's no longer love. The minute you get into somebody or something, somebody gives you something and you can feel the pull and you accept it, you're into it and it's into you. These are subtleties that will kill you. And I just want to recall, if you were listening last night, my pontification was on mother having a child to love her. See that? And women are like that. They want children and they want the children to love them. Well, who doesn't? But there's a very, very fine line between evil love and good love. And if you don't have intuition, you will not know that your evil love, your need for the love of a child. See? In other words, you have a kid now, you want this kid to love you. You don't know you're going to kill that child. It's the mind of that child. Infect that child with what was carried over into you from your parents. And I would say to last night that many of you, there are many people call and say such thus, Mr. Masters, my daughter doesn't want to see me anymore. I have hundreds of those. I said that, but you don't realize you're looking for her love. I says, what's wrong with that? No, you are absolutely demanding. They are enslaved to you for the feeling of love that fills the void of love. That's it. In other words, you'd love your kids too much. And that makes for codependency. It's very hard to explain. It takes a lot of words. But maybe you can actually catch at any given moment where two ideas come together. I don't want you to try to figure me out or remember what I'm saying. Just let me go through one ear and come out the other. What I'm saying to you is if you, just to talk about the lady, this is my daughters don't want to see me. I said, why? Because you're pulling on their life force. They are a slave of your, to fulfill what's lacking in you, and you're drawing it from them. and you're nice to them to obligate them, to pull them in so that you can take off their freedom and take their life force away. And you do not know you're doing it. You think you're loving that kid. And one kid gets caught up in you and is finished. And the other kid feels the pull. Same thing you want. Feels the pull and runs from it, but doesn't know how to run from it. Now I'll tell you my story of a little girl. I keep repeating it. She's 8 years old when it started. But one of the things that was outstanding about this is to make the point here. He says, Grandpa, she calls me Grandpa. It's not my, just somebody I know. I know for a long, long time. I knew her mother when she's 4 years old, when she was raped by her stepfather. That's a long story. But I've known her then. She's about 45 now. So that's how long it's been. So, but this is the child of that lady. And but she loves me. And so does the sister, who's just younger than her. And she calls me, and she called me on the radio just a few weeks ago. But she calls me at my home, and we have a nice talk. She said, Grandpa, is it all right to say no when somebody wants to give you something? I said, do you feel the pull? She says, yes, I do. I said, that is evil. When you feel the pull, something behind that, if you fall for that, it gets into you. You understand that? She says, yes. Can you? Okay, so I say to you, yes. You can say no as long as you don't be angry and at the person who gets angry for you not accepting the gift. So a couple of days later, she calls me again and says, what if it's my grandma? I said the same thing. I know some people will say, oh, don't hurt your grandma's feelings. Yes, you do. You need to hurt those feelings, but you don't do it purposely. By saying no. So you understand that when your grandmother is not any different to anybody else. If you feel the pull, say no thank you. And when you say no thank you, do you think you can stand the fact that your grandma will go angry and fly into a rage and say some bad words to you and run away and throw the toys into the garbage can? Can you not be angry when that happens? She says, yes, I can, Grandpa. And guess what? She did it. And she did it, and she is one step beyond the average kid. Way beyond you, my listeners, because you're stuck in that. And so when you... if you love your children, I will explain how it is. You love them by just enjoying their presence. It's beautiful. The way I love God, by saying, how did he make the universe? How did he make that blade of grass come up to the ground? How did he make the ground? It just didn't make itself. Everything that's caused has to have an uncaused cause. It just doesn't exist, and you can't talk. I see that in science programs. I like science programs. I get something out of that. Not much. But it keeps talking about a Big Bang. It can't be a Big Bang because it's an explosive. It doesn't have any fabric. It doesn't have any... I will find the right word when I come back. I just want to finish the thought. I know we're on a commercial here. But I found the word. It doesn't have... it cannot create the fabric of space. It is a destructive force. It cannot possibly create order. Not possible. Only if it comes in a different way, and I've written how that, and I've hidden, I keep that to myself. But you can get my book, Finding God in Physics. That's about the name of it. There's another subtitle to it. Finding God in Physics on the website. But it gives some proof, but the main proof I've kept back. It took me a year to write 15 pages. I could actually show you how there was indeed something when God said, let there be light. But in the beginning, there was the void. And there's actually absolute cold. Gravity is not absolute cold. There's just going to be measure up to that. So there's still heat below that. So there was an absolute void. Absolutely infinitely hot. But then it becomes into the infinitely cold. And something different happens, but I won't tell you. Something different happens to you that creates structure. I'll just give you a hint. The lake that supplies the water to a river flows with energy into an ocean. Without the equivalent of an ocean, nothing flows. No gravity, nothing. An explosion is like a nuclear incident. It cannot create structure. It destroys structure. It's not possible, logical, to talk about a big bang. And so I wrote, and I wrote, and I listened. I have lots of scientific books given me. I will not look into them. I just wait to see, and hear what they say, and take the good pieces and put them together to this good pieces. And so the average physicist today is very clever, very smart. I can't do all the things they do. They know things, how things work, but I know how they came into being. And that's very important. That is essential to know that the universe just doesn't exist and keep on growing and growing and growing, or it's going to disappear and expand into oblivion. That doesn't make any sense either. I actually make sense of something, and our physicists are afraid of me because I have discovered what is obvious. It's right on their freaking nose. Excuse the expression. It's right there. Just think of this. In the beginning, there was the void. And that's the pure void. I gave it a word. Just hold it. I'll just wait for a minute. I'm just going to talk to you a little bit about physics, but then also metaphysics, which is our God. I'll be right back.
Like a tunnel that you follow to a tunnel of its own, down a hollow to a cavern where the sun has never shone, like a door that keeps revolving in a half-forgotten dream.
This program is brought to you by the Foundation of Human Understanding, a 501(c) nonprofit organization. Your financial assistance is absolutely necessary to keep this program on the air. All donations are tax deductible. Write to P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. Call 1-800-877-3227 or visit FHU.com.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
I proudly, if I've used that word, explain my... I'm not educated at all. Reading, writing, and arithmetic, I don't even count my change anymore. I don't care. Lose a buck, gain a buck, penny. No, I'm only focused on one thing. What created the universe? How was the universe created? Yes, I'm going to take calls in just a minute. But I think I'll take those that we got. Just got one right now, so they can wait. I just want to make a point. My education can rob you of what education stands for, educare, to bring forth from within. I'm now writing science. I've written science. It took me 30 years to do this. It's taken me most of my life to help you to understand that how to find your way back to redemption, paradise lost. My job here is similar to Jesus, except I wasn't born. I was born differently, so I converted. I understood. I breathed a sigh of relief. I see what I couldn't see before. But that was in the early stages of my life. I was a carefree kid. I could see, and that ability to see saved me from education. Not that education is bad, but it saved me from education. And my curiosity grew. And I began to notice this, and I noticed that. And it began, of course, with hypnosis. I got interested in that. And when I was young, and my mother has a friend from the First World War, and she was very suggestible, but she had a headache one day. She said, "Can you just use your hypnosis on me?" I was 15, 16. I said, "Surely." I said, and the headache went away. I learned something different about that later on. I haven't got time to do that. But the point is, I began to say, what's this thing? Then I begin to think, oh, God, Hitler has done this. Hitler has done this, what I just did to this lady. I took away her problem. No, I didn't really. But the point is, I took away the symptom. And this is what I learned later on in life, and how to deal with the symptom, which is to give the person back to who they were when they were born, before the culture caught up with them. And so now, I wanted to be a doctor or a scientist. My father dies. And so that I'm a diamond cutter. So where does that going to take me? I was okay with that too. But the long and the short of it, my interest in hypnosis went through the military. And I became be very good at it and learn a lot about it. Then just take it forward a little bit further, I opened the Institute of Hypnosis when I was married and had kids. And I was working there for 6 years and discovering all about the human mind and spirit, the metaphysicalness of the sickness and diseases that beyond physicists or doctors ever understand it, except a few, of course. There's always a few that recognize those metaphysical forces at work. There's good metaphysical forces and bad ones. And there's a war. As you come into this world, you have to learn to deal with the negative metaphysical forces that drive people who are succumbed to it. And that's why you mustn't hate the hurter. And we'll go into that some other time. But then when it comes to the other side, I wanted to be a physicist. I began to write 30 years ago. I began to really write something really interesting. Finding God in Physics is a little booklet we have. You can get a copy of that very cheap and see my thoughts beginning to form. And now I have a book which one part is missing is the beginning. And I'm just talking about the beginning, that it couldn't be a big bang because that's a destructive force. A nuclear bomb creates chaos. It cannot create structure. And the universe is nothing but structure. So in the beginning, I was saying, let me say it again. In the beginning, because this is a spiritual program. And I say that the world is metaphysical also. It's become physical because of the metaphysical, a parallel universe, if you like. And it will grow and grow and grow forever. But listen to how it said it. Let me say it just a little bit, because I want you to believe in God, and therefore I use my physics to do this. In the beginning, there was the void. What is that? What is the void? Infinite void. Correct. The word is infinite. And God says, let there be light. But that light is infinite. Now, scientists agree that there is a singularity, they call it. Something infinitely hot. Infinitely. Now, that's remarkable. I can understand infinitely cold. Nothing. Void. It's infinite. But into the infinite cold comes the infinitely hot. And there is magic there. There's a programming in there. It's not an explosive force. It is exists to this day outside the universe. There's an outside the universe. And this universe is expanding into the outside. And the temperature of the universe as measured is always the same. So there's an infusion of energy in the universe that makes the point. The temperature is the same while it's expanding out into what? Into the void, infinitely. In other words, we're talking about something infinite, infinitely hot. But now we got infinite hot. What would happen if it appeared and it acted like it began to flow quickly at the speed of light? The minute it appeared, let there be light, bang. And that light still exists outside the universe. Outside. You couldn't have it inside the universe. Outside. It flows. It flows like a river into the void, which retreats at a huge speed, infinitely. And that's a warmth that carries, which is constant. And gravity, that's a gravity constant. But now I will leave you alone to that, because unless there was an infinite void, is part of the machine. Unless there's an infinite void, just like unless there was an ocean to receive the river would cease to exist. All the fish in it would die. Simple. So we got two infinites. You got a machine in the sky. But now how does it work to make a universe? I have learned and discovered all of that. Simple. I'm not doing any more writing. I've written enough books. But now, first of all, in order to get you to appreciate your Creator, I have to bring you to Him. And your misery is driving you towards somebody or something. And so I'm the something, because I'm just a somebody, but I'm just the essence. I'm the made in His image. And He's in the image in Him is my strength, is who I am. And so I learned to deal with imperfect people perfectly. And lots of bad things happened to me, but I seemed to survive every one of them. In the nick of time, as though it was magic. I'm 88 years old. I tell you, I want you to watch my program. My Sunday morning conversations next Sunday, there's only one camera. And my nose was running, so we have to make some adjustments. But in the end, I showed how you use strength with force, with a different kind of force, that there's no anger in it, and how powerful it is. And so you would just see me take hold of a person in my audience and almost lift him out of his boots. Of course, all in fun, but it just represented a story about what I really did to an educator that tried to mess my son up, by putting pressure on him. I went down there and took him to task. And then if you go to my website, you go to my website, FHU.com, and wait for Sunday. All right, now we can take our calls. I want you to see now that I do understand light years. Not that I can do or make iPhones and things like that. I didn't care about that. I can find fault in the way neutrons and electrons come together. They say, for example, that, well, I won't go there, because Even then, they got it wrong. See, they don't even know what makes the neutrons. They don't have them. Don't know how the electrons. They don't know how they form and how there's so many of them, and they do everything so perfectly and never endingly. See, so I've got to understand that by not going to school, by staying away from the school, and just wanting to do what the Father wants. And guess what I'm doing? I've mastered how to make you well. I have it, but it's a gift to me to give to you. Understand that. I am just an ordinary man. And even Jesus said the same thing. He says, don't call me good. There's nobody good. Only God is good. And he doesn't do anything. He acts through me. Don't you hear him talking to you through my hesitations? Do you think I'm sitting here reading something? No. I've got something to read if I want to. But I'll just take my call now. I just want you to understand that you can understand everything. It will come to you. I'm an educated person, but not the way they are. You need people like me to originate the magic. And there's millions of people like me that bring the fruits of that you see all around you, the wonderful, the remarkable things that science can do. But the science that doesn't work very well is medicine. The science that doesn't work very well is pharmaceuticals, because that's where you get addiction and where the help is hurt for the most part. It's something that you lose your leg, or you break your bones or something. I understand that. But medicine is not necessarily good. It can be the beginning of addiction. Although, I'll be right back up. Don't go away.
Hi, this is David Masters, and I want to talk to you about supporting the work of my dad, Roy Masters. I think of the word gratitude, and I wonder how many of you have that sense or that feeling. The word actually means the quality of being thankful, readiness to show appreciation, and to return kindness. When you support the Foundation of Human Understanding, you're showing your gratitude. You're showing that you've been helped, and you're showing that that has value. Not only that, but you're thinking about future generations that will need to hear this message many years into the future. Remember, your donations are tax deductible, and they go to supporting this work on the radio, in the prison ministry, and for the military. To donate online, go to www.fhu.com/donate. That's fhu.com/donate. Or through the mail to P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. Gratitude. It will make all the difference in your life.
Hello, Victoria. Sorry I kept you waiting. I couldn't stop. Is she there? No. Oh, you need to just check them out when, you know, say, hold on. But Victoria, if you're listening about your heart, I had heart problems. I have to tell you a story then. Since we only have just about 10 minutes, I hope without commercials here. I was a strong guy, healthy guy, about 50. I went swimming. I had bought a house on the water, but it was very inexpensive. I paid $53,000 for it. It took me 45 years to pay it off. But it became valuable because they had had to build some kind of dam thing where people can come in and out. I forget what they call it. Breakwater. That was it. Thank you. Because I haven't been on that boat since 35 years. I forgot all the nautical words. So now they built that breakwater. It became valuable. But I'm not there. because intuition says go to Grants Pass, Oregon, which I did 30 years ago. I left my boats behind, and I love fishing, but I want to be a fisherman then, and I had to follow, you know, my intuition, which I did. Started a ranch there for kids, and made them whole. And they're still around today, married and all that, grandchildren, see. It's been a long time already. So, do I have enough time to finish this? Yes, okay. Just hold the line a second, and I'll be right back with you.
Round like a circle in a spiral, like a wheel within a wheel, never ending or beginning. On an ever-spinning reel, like a snowball down a mountain, or a...
This program is brought to you by the Foundation of Human Understanding, a 501(c) nonprofit organization. Your financial assistance is absolutely necessary to keep this program on the air. All donations are tax-deductible. Write to P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528, call 1-800-877-3227, or visit FHU.com.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Victoria in Pasadena, she's listening. I wish she'd just stay with me, maybe tomorrow. But I was just telling the story about my heart, since you brought the subject up. And so I'm a strong guy. Yes, and I can take a whole lot of people down physically and mentally. I know how to do that. I became sort of pseudo-invulnerable in a very strange way. There's nothing to boast about. It's something we can all have against the bad people. But the point is, I got this house on the water now. And the sewage plant down the coast, not very far away, you can smell it when the wind changes. So I swim in the cold 71-degree water. I swim, you know, up and down the canals. And one day I swallowed poison. It leaked. I could smell it, and I leaked away. But it got inside me. And so cut a long story short, I was sick for 4 years. And the doctors couldn't figure it out. Well, what I found out was, eventually, a doctor friend who became my friend, he's a cancer specialist, and he was kind of alone and played the piano and did things. I was still very ill. And one day he came in with a whole bunch of books on medicine. And on top of it was a Merck van, a little tiny booklet. It was a Merck manual. Merck manual. That's what it was. And I shoved through the pages. I wasn't going to read all those books. But there it was, parasite. I went to the doctor, says, give me the medicine, metronidazole. And so he said, well, you can try it because we've tried everything. Immediately, within 3 days, the problem was cured, but left me with diabetes and heart problems. 4 years of that. Couldn't eat anything, just porridge, all the wrong things, as I was getting poisoned by the porridge, that all I could eat. And so I had to have a heart bypass surgery. And they did it wrong. They took a big vein from my leg, all the way from my ankle up to my thigh, and cut a few pieces and put them in the place of four arteries. But they're not arteries. They're just veins, and they're not meant to be in the heart, so it wouldn't last long. I didn't know that. Never understood it. I was still naive. And so I had other problems. I had so many problems, I had so many operations and everything, but they just don't know what they're doing. But I felt that later, when I look back on it, that they could have taken the arteries of a man's breast, because of my breast, men don't have the feeding aspect of that, but they still have the artery that could be used to plant into the heart more naturally. But they know that if they take the vein you'll die in 2 or 3 years. That's the way you get rid of old people. That's how they do it. They did that to me. So long story short, it gets very, very, very interesting, but I haven't got the time. So I had a problem with the prostate, and so my bladder began to expand. They didn't do it right. They didn't treat me right. I managed to go to Cedar Sinai. They look at me, and they see I had all the symptoms of another heart attack. And what was happening is my bladder was crushing my kidneys and giving the impression of and the chemistry of heart attack. Wasn't nothing wrong with me otherwise. So they put me under and they checked me out to see what was going on in my heart. And then it wasn't, and didn't put me to sleep for that. But my doctor came in and said, "I've got good news and bad news." He said, "Would you like to hear the bad news first?" He said, "Yes, please." He says, "You've grown new arteries." Oh no, that was the bad news. Your arteries, your bypass failed. That's it. I'm trying to get the right words. Your bypass failed. I said, "What's the good news?" He says, "You've got 4 brand new arteries." I said, "How come?" So I had there is something I had to find, didn't I? And before you knew it, I was my partner, which I didn't like in the radio station. Eventually, we gave all the money to the foundation, so don't worry. My partner, you know, wasn't a very good person, but he gave me a walking machine. Well, that's nice. I wouldn't have done it for myself. That's what I call a miracle. I wouldn't have thought of it. So I began to walk on that walking machine. And before you know it, you know, I began to get strong. I began to swim. And nearly everything that ever happened to me, it seems like I had to go through hell of the hospitals and doctors to realize how little they knew. And I had to go through that, but I had to see that for myself. And I had to be tested. And never a moment did I freak out. Never a moment was I fearful. And all kinds of miracles happened. I can't tell you the whole story. I wish I could write a book on it. Somebody needs to write a book on that, because I can't write it myself. I can only talk about it. But there has a sequence of things leading to me being 88 years old. Almost that. I'm as strong as a horse. See, I'm still using that machine. I wasn't able to swim this summer. But if I could, were to swim, I'd swim 3 miles. I'm waiting for next year so I can do that, because I have a 50-foot pool. So I miss that. I'll just wait for the summer to come and the water to heat up, and then I'll go again. Okay. So I'm still around. I know how to help you. I understand. 1 minute. All right. Well, thank you very much for listening to this blabber. I hope it's meaningful. Don't be afraid of things happening to you. Don't be frightened. You just learn to be still and know. And I've only got 30 seconds to give you my... this program number is 8464 and fhu.com/donate or the Foundation of Human Understanding, Post Office Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528, tax deductible. We are equivalent organization to the Catholic Church in sequence. Thank you very much.